Okay, I'm very excited to begin tonight our new limud for this year. During Mincha Maariv, we're going to be studying the Maharal's work, the Gur Aryeh, on Rashi's commentary on Chumash. Every week we'll learn five or six, I hope, different Maharal's, his comments on various Rashi's through the Parsha. And since Bereishis is going to be only going to have one or two nights, I already figured we'll start now during Chol Hamoed so we can get in, because there's so much to be said on Bereishis. We're not even going to skim the top of the surface of that, but at least we'll get a few in if we begin now. Just one brief word of introduction. We actually spent a lot of time on the Maharal in the previous course of the great Jewish books, in his biography at length. But just very briefly, just to review that, Maharal lived from the early 1500s, a lot of historical debate exactly when he was born. He passed away in the early 1600s, known as the Maharal of Prague, Rabbi Yehuda Lowy, Ben Bezalel. Was a giant in Torah scholarship, really impossible to describe in just a moment or two. In today's terms, we would call him a mystic, a philosopher, a Talmudist. He was a halachist. He was the entire package as far as it went, and influenced an entire, not just one generation, but centuries of Jewish thinkers after him. In more recent times, Rav Kook, Rav Huttner, Rav Eliyahu Dessler, all were very much influenced and openly described how their Jewish thinking was shaped by the works and writings of the Maharal. Rav Huttner wrote that it's clear to him that Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch was also very heavily influenced by him. And his approach is, as has been described, was to take deep philosophical Kabbalistic ideas and present them in accessible language to the layman, to be able to as the Rav Huttner used to describe it, to describe Nister, to describe that which is hidden in the language of the Nigla, in the language of that which is revealed. And one of the things that we'll be focused on primarily as we go through his work on Gur Aryeh, he wrote many, many different works. What is largest is probably his commentary that we're going to be studying on Rashi. It's a super commentary on Rashi, meaning the Maharal, in his Perush on Chumash, never actually comments on the Chumash itself. His comments are always on Rashi's comments. So you have to learn the Pasuk, learn the Rashi, and then the Maharal will come to explain, to question, to elucidate Rashi's comment. And one of the things that he focuses on, that we'll focus on as well, is particularly Medrash. One of the things that the Maharal was very, very invested in doing was expressing the brilliance of Chazal. Chazal, the sages, often shrouded their words in a language in which they purposely meant to hide their wisdom so that it wouldn't be misconstrued by the masses. And we often find in the statements of Chazal's words or sentences, concepts which seem to not make sense or seem to be wild ideas that are out there. And the Maharal was supremely invested in showing the brilliance of Chazal by uncovering or explaining what it was that they meant to say despite the cryptic language that they often use. And so Rashi will quote many of these Chazals, and the Maharal will explain this is what Chazal meant when Rashi explained how they were explaining the pasuk. We'll have a chance to learn many, many of these. That's a brief little introduction as we begin. So for tonight, as we start, so in the very first pasuk, Rashi makes the following observation. The pasuk uses one specific name of Hashem throughout the entire first perek of Sefer Bereishis. Every single time Hashem's name is mentioned, there's always one very specific name of Hashem, and that's the name Elohim, Bereishis Bara Elohim, throughout the entire parak. And there are many different references to Hashem throughout the entire parak. I didn't count them up, it's significant. Every single time it's the name Elohim. What does the name Elohim refer or reflect? The midah of din, the midah of justice, so that a person gets exactly what it is that he deserves. And that's the only name that's referenced, that attribute of Hashem, throughout the first parak. At the beginning of the second parak, there we find, for the first time, the new name of Hashem that's introduced, the name of Hashem, the Yud and the He, and the Vav and the He. And that name, which we refer to as Hashem, we never pronounce it exactly as it's spelled. There the Torah says, B'yom Asos Hashem Elokim. When the Torah describes what Hashem did, it describes the day that Hashem Elokim, using both names together, first using the name of Hashem, and that name, the Yud and the He and the Vav and the He, that name reflects not the attribute of judgment, but the attribute of rachamim, of mercy. And so Rashi notes in the very first pasuk, why is it that the entire first run through, the first parak of creation, only uses the name, the attribute of justice, and then only later we're introduced to the attribute of rachamim. So Rashi says, Shebatchila, quoting from Chazal, Shebatchila, beginning, Allah b'machshava livroso b'midas hadin. Hashem had the thought, so to speak, the thought went up in his mind, Kavi Yochel, if you could say such a thing, to create the world with the attribute of judgment or justice, b'midas hadin. However, v'ra'a she'ein miskayim. Hashem saw that if he actually created the world with the attribute of justice, of din, We would never make it. What human being can survive if we got exactly what we deserved? If Hashem treated us the way that we acted, that would be the end. We wouldn't last 3 minutes. So he saw that we couldn't make it. So v'hiktim midos rachamim. So therefore, he introduced before he preceded creation with the attribute of rachamim. V'shitfa l'midos hadin, and he partnered it together with the attribute of justice. And that's why everywhere else in the second parak it always says Hashem Elokim. First the midah of rachamim, and then the midah of din. There is much to be said on this chazal. Much to be said in it. The Maharal asks one question on this, and that is, he uses the language of the Gemara of Mai Dehava Have. Whatever was, was. Who cares what was the original thought process? All that should matter is, what is? What did he create the world with? How does the world run? What attribute does Hashem run the world? Why does it matter to us what he originally thought if that's not what he did? Good, he thought to create B'midas Adin. What did he do? How does he run the world? So the Maharal asks, why is this relevant to us? Why do we need to know what was originally up in Hashem's mind? He doesn't even address, which is a separate question of exactly what that means, that Hashem originally had that thought, and then he thought it wouldn't work, so he changed his mind. He's not even addressing that. He just wants to know, why do we need to know? What's it relevant to us? He says a magnificent thing. He says as follows. This is to teach us, a person needs to know, this was Hashem's desire to run the world b'midas adin. He originally wanted to create it that way, he couldn't, because we wouldn't be able to manage. And therefore it's lahagid luchatz, to tell us, shetovu la'adam. It's a good thing for a person to be omed b'midas adin. A person's desire and drive should be that he could tolerate, that he could stand the midah of din, and he doesn't need rachamim. That he could stand before Hashem on a Rosh Hashanah, on a Yom Kippur, and say, I want din. That's my goal, to live a life where I can stand in judgment, and I don't need any mercy. I don't need your rachamim. Ve'ashrei lo mi sheyachol la'amod b'midas hadin. Praiseworthy is he, says the Maharal, who can stand b'midas hadin. And Rav Hartman, Yeshua Hartman, wants to describe Rav Hartman. Yeshua Hartman is a contemporary rabbi, lives in England now, wrote a commentary to the Maharal's commentary, references a comment that Rav Yitzchak Kuttner makes. When the Gemara records that Rabbi Akiva, who we just mentioned, the Saruge Machos on Yom Kippur, when Rabbi Akiva was, when his skin was flayed off and he died by the Romans, so the Gemara Menachos records there was a conversation in heaven as that was taking place. As Rabbi Akiva, the great sage Rabbi Akiva, is being killed, the Malachim complained in heaven. We recorded this in the Machzor, and they said, Zu Torah v'zu schara. This is the reward. This is Torah. This great man should come to such an end. And Hashem responds in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Shtok, silence. Kach Allah b'machshava. This is my thought process. So Rav Hutner said that language that the Gemara used of Kach Ala B'machshava is to hint at this Rashi that we just learned, not just that Hashem is saying that you don't understand my ways, but specifically, this was my original intention to create a world that can function B'midas Hadin. The Tzadikim, the righteous, the Gemara says, are Nishra Kechut Asar. They are judged like a hairbreadth. Every single thing is exact because they can manage it. And that's the goal. The goal of a human being is to say, I don't want rachamim. I don't want you to let it slide. I want to live a life that I deserve reward in Olam Haba, that I earned it, and I'm judged by me this I did. Okay, human beings, we're never going to make it. We're always going to need a measure of rachamim because we can't. We're human, we're fallible, we make mistakes. But that it should be the goal and the driving force of a human's life, a Jew's life, I want it right. I want to earn everything. I want to get my keep in Olam Haba because I earned it, not because I needed a measure of rachamim to allow me in. More to be said on that, but that's the Maharal's idea of this medrash that Rashi quotes of what was originally in Hashem's thought is that it's still here in this world today. There's still an element of din, and that it's a yearning of a Jew should always have. And Ashrei mi shelo sheyachol la'amod b'midas. Praiseworthy is he who has the ability to stand b'midas adin, which is the measure of the tzaddikim who are indeed always judged b'midas adin.